If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Welcome to the Songwriter Connection, the podcast that delves deep into the art and heart of songwriting. Each week, we gather around the dining room table to uncover the stories behind the songs. We invite you to join us on a journey to the creative minds of the songwriters who shape the melodies of our lives. From Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, Dave Lenihan.
Well, thank you for joining us. There are a lot of podcasts out there, especially ones that deal with music. But we deal with songwriting, the craft of songwriting, and I'm so glad that you have found us. And we've got, if all things go as planned, this is episode 198, and if you're listening to it the day it comes out, supposed to be March the 5th, you know? We work about 5-6 weeks in advance, and sometimes things change. But let me tell you, today we kind of have like a two for today. Let me tell you, I'm really excited about having our guest today. What I mean by two for, there's this band you need to know about. They're called Brother Maven. Okay? Really, really good. And then a songwriter that we're going to tell you about too, named Daniel Mason. And I can't wait to tell you their story. Just listen a little bit of this right now.
If you didn't have that sweet little smile, fill my heart with every desire, there'd be no need to worry, I won't stop loving you.
Is that you singing, Daniel? Daniel Mason is with us. Daniel, how are
hey,
you, buddy?
How's it going, Dave?
Good to have you.
That is me singing.
That's you singing. What an amazing voice.
Thank you, man.
What I love about you guys, you've defined what you do. Your brand is American rock and soul. And baby, let me tell you, it definitely is.
Thank
baby,
you.
Baby, from the twilight still to the midnight movie.
With amazing harmonies.
Yeah.
You guys are hot, I'm telling you.
Thank you.
The night is young. The first dream comes.
This is it.
Head by tender.
Such soul.
So the tab we're done.
Daniel Mason, the voice.
Sir.
How you doing, brother?
I'm good, man.
Welcome Dave. To the dining room table.
Dude,
it's
I love
so
it,
good
man.
To have you here.
You too. Thanks for having me. It's good to be here, man.
American rock and soul. So
yes,
guys,
sir.
Think about like, you know what? You think about like, I think about Hall & Oates, and you guys do a version of...
We do, yeah.
You Make My Dreams Come True.
Yeah.
And the Doobie Brothers with a song that never gets old, Long Train Running. Mm-hmm. You guys put all the horns and stuff. By the way, those are out there on your Spotify page, and I want you guys to check it out because it's just really good stuff. But you're an amazing songwriter, too.
I try to be.
The first time I saw you might have been at Randy's Revival here
I think
Nashville.
So, yeah.
And you stand out as a songwriter. I've been listening to your great voice and your great songs, but you got a guitar with a very unusual pick guard.
Yeah.
It looks like Kentucky. And as a matter of fact, it is.
It is Kentucky.
It is Kentucky.
Everybody points it out every time I play.
Every time.
Which is cool. I mean...
It's kind of your thing.
Yeah. You know, I had a guy that used to play bass in our band a couple years ago, mm-hmm. actually modded guitars.
Huh?
And I had this idea. I was like, man, I got this idea. Because some states work, some don't in Kentucky. I was like, hey, man, could we like somehow put the state of Kentucky on my pick guard? You know, he's like, oh, let's try to figure that out. So we measured it out, blah, 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 whatever. Long story short, man.
That looks great. I'm telling
yeah.
you.
Yeah. I love it.
So you are from Kentucky originally.
I am originally from Kentucky, yes, sir. Paris, Kentucky. Yeah.
And a little time in Georgetown?
Yeah. When I was about 15, my parents moved to Georgetown, and they're still there. They're still in Georgetown. So,
but bourbon is in your heart, Bourbon County.
It is. Yeah. I graduated from Bourbon County. So.
Yeah. Very cool. Things I know about Georgetown are from, like, when I lived in Cincinnati, 25 years ago, the Bengals practiced there. Do they still, I think?
That's a good question. They do. The last time I looked into it, they still had the practice field year.
And I remember there was a Toyota plant there. I think they're Lexus now, too, there in Georgetown. So.
Yeah, Toyota's the prime spot for Georgetown. You think of Georgetown, it's like, oh, Toyota. Yeah.
So you're a Reds and Bengals fan, are you?
What's that?
Reds and Bengals fan?
Yeah. Bit. I'm definitely a Reds fan for sure. I grew up playing baseball, so.
Did you?
I did, and was on a pretty decent little team when I played T-ball the last 2 years. I played 3 years of it, and the last 2 years we actually won our little World Series thing.
Hey!
So we got, my dad was a big Reds fan, baseball fan, and we got to go to games, you know, throughout the year because we were winning little tournaments, and I was in the All-Star games. And
oh, that's cool.
It was fun, man.
But music won out, huh?
It did.
Is your family musical? Where'd you pick it up?
Yes and no, I should say. My mom, later, when I was like in high school, she started singing, like gospel music.
Huh?
I guess it'd be Southern gospel.
Southern gospel. You know? Okay.
And there for a while, she would sing in the church, and she got to a point to where there was a Southern gospel group that was kind of touring locally there in Lexington, Kentucky area.
Okay.
And they actually started inviting her to come play sing.
Yeah.
Places they would go. So she kind of got into it, and then she kind of just got out of it. I mean, she didn't want to try to go like big into it, but that's, she was a bit of a musical influence for me, but...
Is that where you get that amazing voice?
Yeah, you know, I don't know.
Gosh, your voice is incredible.
I had a lot of friends. I think it started in middle school. I had a music class, and these were like real cheap plastic nylon string guitars. And the teacher, we actually had like this little semester of learning to play songs.
Yeah.
And it was like... Wow. You just hold one finger and play three strings, you know, to play the chords and just slide like this. But what was crazy is that some of my friends that actually knew their parents played, they were over in the corner playing Guns N' Roses and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, man, I want to do that. No, I'm serious. So, like, I went home and just begged.
How old are you then?
12.
12?
Maybe-ish.
Wow.
I was, like, right into middle school. And I begged my mom and dad to get me a guitar.
Yeah.
I still have it.
Do you?
My first guitar, it was a little Harmony.
Oh, I remember those
nylon
guitars.
String.
Yes.
It was kind of a mini, you know.
I have a red, white, and blue one upstairs.
And I'm not even joking, man. Just like Brian Adams says, I played until my fingers bled. And I'm not kidding. Yeah. I mean, I wore my fingers out, built some calluses, and had a neighbor that played bluegrass. Uh-huh. And he'd come over and help me tune it, show me how to tune the guitar, show me a few chords, and there you go,
and
man.
The rest is history. When did you start writing?
I started writing probably junior year in high school, probably. Mm-hmm. I had a good friend of mine. We connected musically.
Good.
And just started singing together, and that's kind of where the music started for me. You know, started playing around with writing my own stuff, taught myself how to harmonize. I would sing along to the radio and find harmonies and stuff like that. And so, That's fine. Started out just kind of doing more of like an acoustic kind of thing. I started got out of high school and then right into college, I was playing on the weekends. I was playing in bars I wasn't supposed to be in. I was too young to be in them, but I was playing in these bars.
Sounds familiar, that story.
Playing like in cover bands, you know, just on the weekends and stuff and having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I want to talk about the band, Brother Maven.
Yeah.
At one time, wasn't it the Daniel Mason band?
It was originally.
Different members.
Yeah, because I was kind of in and out of a few bands, and then, you know, that didn't kind of pan out. But I decided, I was like, man, I've written all these songs and, you know, I just want to get them out there.
Yeah.
And the best way to get them out is just to do them yourself. So I kind of started a band, and I had a few people that were were like, hey, man, we'll keep playing with you. You know, I had a few guys I was hiring out.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, man, I'm just going to do my own thing. Yeah. I got to a point, I was just like, man, I'm just going to get these songs out. I just want to get them out.
You're going
to
do you.
And, you know, what happened was, it's kind of interesting, the story, because, and again, it's hard to tell the story because, like, there's no ego here. It's just, I do what I do, and I try to be good at it. Yeah. So I'm out there performing, and I had a guy playing guitar for me, and he's, like, telling a friend of his, which is Joel Burns.
Yeah.
He'll love the story, but how he came into the band, he was the first.
Mm-hmm.
The guitar player was just like, hey, man, dude, you've got to come see this guy. You've got to come see him. You know, he's a great singer. He's got great songs. You got to come see him perform. So he just invites Joe. Joe had just moved to Nashville. I mean, he hadn't probably been in Nashville for 6 months or whatever. Really? I mean, he's good enough to, like, go on tour with whoever he wants. Wow. He's that good. But there was something in him about, like, hey, man, I want to create my own music, too. I want to do my own thing. I want to build my own legacy. And anyway, so he comes out to a show, and he's like, dude, I got to be that guy's drummer. I mean, I'm not kidding. So we audition him. He's amazing. I'm like, wow. So he's been a part of the band ever since. And
wow.
JP was a guy.
This is JP Presley.
JP Presley, our guitar mm-hmm. player. Mm-hmm. Just kind of give me the history real quick.
He
played at a worship event at church with Joel. They were like playing together in their church band or whatever.
Wow.
And we were looking for a guitar player, and Joel was just like, hey, there's this guy, he's an amazing guitar player. I've played with him at church, you know, I can just ask him to come jam. And he's the youngest, and he comes in, and he's all like, man, I love what y'all are doing. But he's all kind of like, I don't know what to think about this, you know.
Yeah.
His dad, he played guitar. His dad played guitar and taught him how to play. But he kind of grew up on that Southern Rocky, CCR, you know, Eagles and Doobie Brothers. Loved. So we all had this like common love for that style of music, you know.
Yeah.
That classic rock, you know. Southern rock, just the rock and roll, folky, Americana. I mean, just that mix that,
absolutely.
You know, that Muscle Shoals kind of vibe, you know, where it's hey, just where I come from.
T-shirt on, right?
Oh, yeah.
Your Honor.
Heck yeah, man. So, you know, I come from the soul side. I'm not really a country singer per se. I don't do the twangy kind of thing. I love country, but.
Well, you know, in listening to your music, and say this was my workout music this morning.
Yeah. Cool.
Listening to the 2021 album, which is an amazing album. It's out there.
Thank you.
Folks, you want to stream it. It is fantastic. But, you know, we talked about like the Doobies and Hall & Oates. But you know what else I hear? And I hate comparing artists to artists. And I love that you created your own genre, American rock and soul. But I hear Ray LaMontagne. I hear Amos Lee, Chris Stapleton. Are these people that were influenced that you listened to?
Oh yeah, Van Morrison, man.
Van Morrison. Yes.
Oh my goodness, I
love Van Morrison.
Huge fan. Mm. Just that. Oh yeah. Oh, totally influenced by these people.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, of course, Chris Stapleton was a little late to the scene for me. Yeah. I mean, I love him.
I do.
He's a great writer, singer. I mean, who doesn't like him? I mean,
got his own bourbon right now, so you know you've made it when you get your own.
No, exactly. You know, and it's kind of funny because I'm kind of glad for people like him, to be honest.
I am too.
He's kind of maybe he's helping country get back to where it needs to be. But you know, he's kind of got like the bluesy kind of rock kind of vibe, you know,
he sure
too.
Does.
Mm-hmm. And I'm very similar to that.
Yeah.
I do come from the country, but I kind of grew up listening to pop, soul music, rock and roll, and it, you know, that resonated with me better. So
that's where all that soul comes from.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you pick up that guitar? And I want folks all to right. hear you sing. We had just a little touch when we listened to some Brother Maven songs. But
yeah.
Dan is an amazing songwriter and a great performer, too. So,
yeah.
And we'd like to get under the hood on the songs, my friend.
Yeah.
So tell us about something. You want to do one of the ones you got coming out pretty soon?
Yeah, I'm gonna kick it off with, this is an acoustic version, of course. You know, I don't normally play this one acoustic, but I'll do it for your show, though.
Okay.
This song's called Lucky Man.
Okay.
And it's going to be our next single.
Is it?
It's supposed to. We're in the mastering stages, I think, of it. That's
good.
About where we were. We just had some mixing done. So, about to release it.
Cool.
I wrote this song with Mark Hamm. I don't know if Mark. Do you know
what
Mark?
A great guy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Came to Mark with the idea, and he, I mean, man, we went to town on we wrote it pretty quickly. Nice. But we just kind of started talking about how lucky we were to have the things in our lives, and you know, what are all, you know, we're blessed. You know, we're lucky to have the women that we have and the families we have. So yeah. that kind of where it came from. And I had this more like rock kind of verse, like, man, I wanted to be kind of rocky, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's kind of where it came from. I'm just a lucky man, you know.
Just a lucky man.
So, yeah.
All right.
We'll see what it sounds like on the acoustic, man. Like I said.
You're going to be great.
Yeah.
There's no question, she's one in a million, a lucky roll of the dice. A seventh heaven, that's what she's given. Every minute's just another sweet surprise. Well, it feels so right, on the edge of being wrong. Good Lord, I'm barely hanging on.
Okay.
Yeah.
You all right? The voice.
Oh,
man,
dude.
You are just killing that song.
I had to. I didn't even warm up for that.
Oh, blew me away. Daniel Mason is our guest. It's the Songwriter Connection podcast. What a song. What a voice, man.
It's a rocker, man. I mean, we don't normally do that on acoustic, so that was definitely different.
I bet you the band brings a whole
new. Oh, it's different for sure. We got like a little guitar hook, man, and three-part harmony on that. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Can't wait to hear it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's out by now here in March. I don't know, but soon.
Yeah, It should be out by March, I think.
Brother Maven. You know, tell me about the name. How'd you get... I got to find out the story behind the name. Brother Maven. M-A-V-E-N.
Yeah. The four guys, I mean, we're kind of like a brotherhood. I mean, we're not biologically connected, but there's like spiritual connection.
Yeah.
We have a lot of
brothers
common,
from another mother.
Yeah, that's right, man. There you go. Yeah. So, we have a lot of common, you know, commonalities like in our lives and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
And, so we're sitting around thinking about what we're going to do. Like, we're trying to come up with a name, a band name. Because, like you said, it was kind of like the Daniel Mason Band. And then we were like, nah, we want a band, man.
Yeah.
So, Maven comes from, it's actually, the word means someone that pursues excellence.
Wow.
So, like, if you're a Maven, like, if you're good at something, you could say, I'm a Maven. Like, I pursue excellence to be excellent in something. No matter what you're doing, a trade or whatever, you can be a maven at something.
There you go.
So it kind of worked because we were trying to think. We kind of felt like we wanted brother in the name. And then we were like, okay, well, Maven sounds pretty cool. Let's put those together. So really, we thought it, the story of that is great. It's like a brotherhood of guys that are seeking excellence in the music, in our craft, and what we're doing. So yeah,
that's awesome. That's
where it comes from.
And we have the bearded Maven with us. Yeah. Daniel Mason with the amazing voice. I wish I could sing half as good as you.
You're amazing. Thank you, man.
I'd be twice the singer I am right now. Pretty amazing stuff. And Daniel is also an award-winning songwriter. Yeah. Tell us about the contest that you won.
It was season 4 of Nashville Songwriter.
Nashville Songwriters.
Yeah. And came into Nashville. It's funny. This is that story I was going to tell you. I'm going to tell you the story. It's funny. I have to tell it because it's hilarious. Yeah. Well, it's funny, but it's true. So I entered this contest. I was in Nashville for about 2 years. I had just moved here, and I was like, man, maybe I'll enter this contest just to kind of get out there, get known, and just get my music heard.
Good thing to do.
So I get in there, and I won it. I ended up winning it, which was a big deal to me. I was like, so it kind of
validation for what you do.
A little bit, you know, try to be humble, but I'm like, man, I guess I'm pretty good at this stuff, I guess. So I won it, and I got a chance to, I got to do a round. The winnings was like a cash prize and like a gift card and stuff like that. And then I got to perform a round with Wynn Varble.
Love me some Wynn Varble.
And Leslie Thatcher.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, these are huge,
amazing songs.
These are powerhouses, man.
Yes, they are.
So I'm like nervous, you know.
Wynn has been on the show. We'll have to get Leslie one of these days.
Oh, but, man.
It's fantastic. Yeah.
She's a country girl. Mm-hmm. So I'm performing with them and everything, and we get done, everything's fine, you know, they're super sweet and everything. But Leslie comes up to me. Here's the story about it. It's hilarious. So Leslie comes up to me. She's like, oh, honey. And she's got this real country. Yeah. You've met her. She's like, honey, you got a great voice. Oh, my goodness. It's so good. And I'm like, thank you, man. I'm trying to be sweet. And she goes, man, so you won this contest, huh? I was like, yes, ma'am, I did. And she's like, so how long you been in Nashville? I was like, well, I'm going on 2 years. She goes, what? She goes, you only been in Nashville for 2 years and you won a contest? And I was like, yes, ma'am, I did. She goes, well, this is what she said. I swear, it's been with me ever since. She goes, well, honey, you just keep on trucking. She goes, it took me 10 years to get my first cut, so good luck.
Good luck.
I was like,
only 8 more years to go, right?
Well, it's funny because when I first moved to Nashville, there was a guy that I met with, and I'm not even kidding. He goes, do you want me to give you the 3-year, the 5-year? Or the 10-year conversation. Because I'm asking him all these questions about, you know, what do I do?
Yeah.
And it was funny. So it kind of made sense in a way. Well, you know, you kind of got to get in line in a way. Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, you could be here for a short period of time and have some success. I'm not saying that. Yeah. But most of the time, it's like, hey, get in line. I was here first.
That's right. Nashville's an interesting town. When you come here, we've talked about this in the past. You find your tribe. You find the people that you really click with.
Yeah.
First, you ride around a lot. You know, it's kind of like dating, even at first.
It is.
You know,
it's a very good way to put it. Yeah.
Because you're sharing inner thoughts and experiences, and you're trying to put it to melodies, finding a good hook, a good thing. But it doesn't always work, does it?
No, I've had some horror stories, man. Mm-hmm. I've written with, when I first came into Nashville, like I think I was telling you earlier, I wrote with a ton of people.
Mm-hmm.
And,
me too.
And sometimes, man, like you find those people that you really click with, and then you find some that, you know, you're just, it's a one-off.
Right.
Or, you know, then there's some that are like, oh, I ain't ever writing with them again. And they feel the same way. It's like, there's this thing, you know.
You can tell.
Because like when you don't get the call back or you don't get, it's like, okay, maybe that didn't work out. But I've had some crazy ones, man. I wrote with, I'm not going to say their name, but wrote with this person one time and we just stared at the walls.
A lot of co-staring.
Nothing was coming out. Like I had an idea and he's like, yeah. And then he showed an idea. I'm like, yeah. And then we just like nothing for like an hour. And I'm like, we literally looked at each other and went, I think we're just, all right, see you, man. All right, see you. And you know,
sometimes you get in a room with someone and boom, it just clicks.
Oh, it does,
and it just
man.
Comes it out of you, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what the chemistry is behind that, how it works.
It's spiritual,
but
bro.
But when you have it, you stick with it, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, there's the craft, you know, of, you know, being able to put together some melodies, your mm-hmm. progression, and then creating melodies. And there's yep. talent there. And then, of course, being a lyricist, you know, being able to like kind of put those together. But there's some kind of chemistry and something special about when things kind of come together.
Yeah,
it's unless you're a songwriter and you understand it, you know, it's hard to explain. Really,
it really is.
It is.
Yeah. You just go with the flow when it's
happening.
You
do, man.
You do.
That's
you
right.
Do. Well, can we get one more song before the break?
Sure.
And then I want to talk more about the craft and,
yeah.
and what you do. Daniel Mason's our guest, Brother Maven, on his Songwriter Connection.
All right.
Mm.
I'm gonna do one that's off the 2021 album.
Good. Love that album.
All right. I think you've heard this one before. The Highway?
Yes, I have.
So this is an older song, but it's a good one. It's a good acoustic one.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, it's just a song about the highway knows where to find home, you know, ooh. When things don't go right.
That's right. So. Awesome.
I recall Sunday morning, May 95. You standing in the driveway with tears in your eyes. And you said, baby, I love you, but I won't wait. It's the last words I heard before I drove away. Yeah, I was blind. Should have changed my mind, but I was a fool for leaving you. The highway knew where to find you, where to find you. I've got no excuse, 'cause the highway knew, yeah, the highway knew where to find you, yeah. That highway sign now haunts my mind every time that I pass by. Still taste your lips, the goodbye kiss. Reminds me every day of what I missed. Yeah, I was blind. Should have changed my mind. Yet I was a fool for leaving you. The highway knew where to find you, where to find you. I've got no excuse, 'cause the highway knew, yeah, the highway knew where to find you. Was I thinking? I wasn't thinking. Straight up and out of my mind, I left you love behind. You moved on while I was gone. Yeah, the highway knew. Ooh, oh, yeah. The highway knew. Where to find you, where to find you. Oh, I've got no excuse, 'cause the highway knew, yeah, the highway knew. Where to find you, yeah.
Daniel Mason, what a great song.
Thank you, man.
Thanks for playing it live around the table. You know, this is where my favorite part of the show when we get to do this. Now, the version on the album is 2021.
Yeah.
And it's streaming everywhere. And if you want to check the fully produced version, go ahead and do that. You're going to love it. But that's the way I
the
look
raw.
At it. The raw, yeah.
Different key
song. Did you change keys in that? Or there was
I did, man. I mean, just...
I love that.
Well, when I did the first song, I was fully warmed up, so I thought, well, I better bring it down a little bit, because it's actually a couple steps up.
I've noticed that in a few of your songs, and I do love a modulation in a song.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, when appropriate, and you guys do a good job of that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. I'm going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and learn more. Daniel Mason and brother Maven.
You're listening to The Songwriter Connection with Dave Linehan. Find us on Facebook and YouTube at The Songwriter Connection Podcast. And find Dave at thedaveconnection.com. Now back to the show with your host, Dave Linehan.
Yeah, that website, by the way, has got connections to this show, the latest show, and it also has my radio show, which is called The Nashville Connection. We're on a little radio station in southern Illinois, so you can check that out as well. All the latest news, what's going around Nashville. And, of course, we're on YouTube as well. Now, we're not a video podcast, and I say this time and time again, but you got to be on YouTube if you want to do anything. And we can really use your help in subscribing and liking, if you would, and help us spread the word about Songwriter Connection Podcast. As of this past week, we just hit 1,500,000 streams. And that's thanks to you spreading the word. So I can't thank you enough for that. So thank you very much. Appreciate it. Daniel Mason is with us, and it's so good to have you here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your friends always call you, they call you Daniel or Dan or Danny.
Well, I mean, it's a mix.
It's a mix.
It's usually never Danny. There's a few people that call me Danny, but family either calls me Dan or Daniel.
Danny or Dan. And your friends too, Dan?
Yeah, most of my friends call me Dan.
Dan.
Yeah.
All right, Dan. Dan the man.
Dan the man. I get it all the time, man.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Dan with the plan. Oh, yeah.
Dan with the plan, right? And you're a songwriter, so everybody's got to rhyme, right?
That's right.
you guys have just come off a residency at Cat 10.
Yeah.
In downtown Nashville. If you're not familiar with that, it used to be the Wild Horse Saloon, and it's now the Luke Combs place. And when Luke took that place over, they totally remodeled it. It's amazing inside.
It is. Yeah. It's top notch.
It looks like a hurricane.
Right? It's top notch. I mean, and we got a tour before it was finished, and Luke put a lot of himself in it. Actually, I heard that he was a lot of hands on, and believe me, it makes sense.
It's him all the way.
Oh, it's very cool. Yeah.
And Cat 10, because I guess he says hurricanes only go up to 5, and of course he had that big song Hurricane.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he said we're going to double the fun. So Cat 10. You must have a blast playing there, huh?
It's oh no, for sure. It's anytime you play in downtown, man, it's exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, because a lot of people, you know, it's a tourist spot. A lot of people come in, and you get different people every once in a while. You build some a nice fan base.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always exciting to play down there, man.
And of course, before that, you guys played a lot at the old Wild Horse Saloon.
We did, did.
In fact,
man,
this article I read today, and I'm throwing it everywhere.
Uh oh.
Talked about how
this is live.
Rich and Laura Lynch talking about how you guys were the favorite band that they saw in all the time.
Oh, cool. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I mean, it hits everybody differently, but we built some long life friends and fans through Wild Horse before that, since you're asking about that. But I mean, when you're playing in Nashville, and then when people find out, because a lot of the, you know, when you're playing the honky tonks or you're playing the downtown, people want covers and they want to hear some country. So, you know, you got to play it. But when, you know, they allow us to throw in some originals, you know.
Well, that's
we
nice.
Kind of do like a 60-40. We'll throw in some originals and stuff, and people hear it. And the people that love music and really care about the bands, they'll come up, you know, and they'll be like, hey, man, you know, we've heard your stuff. That's why we came to see you. And, you know, and then, you know, we try to find a lot of Brother Maven shows too. Just like we just did one this past weekend at Fox and Lock in Leaper's Fork
used to be the old Puckett's original.
It was the original, and the original of that original was actually called Fox and Lock. It was like a
I didn't know that. That's a cool place. You never know who's going to drop in there to watch.
It's awesome, and we are blessed, man. We had a sellout. Uh-huh. We had a sellout crowd.
Wow.
Yeah, it was good. It was a sellout show. And we had done that before there last year I think it was in July, June or July, we had a show there and we had another sellout. So we got a lot of local people that are really into what we're doing. We got a lot of support and it's awesome.
There's a lot of famous people that live in and around that area. And so you just never
know. Oh, man, you never know who's
going to. Last time I was in there, this guy comes walking in.
Yeah.
And I go, God, he looks just like, oh, my God, that is Bill Belichick.
Yeah. Well,
you got a farm around there or something.
Yeah, I mean, they do, they do, you know, open mics there too. And I went to an open mic there one time. And
Mark Hamm keeps telling me I got to come back.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Judds just walking.
Yeah, they just walking. Yeah.
So, like, I mean, and when that happens, sometimes they'll take over the show. There'll be people be like, get up here and do one, man. I think Carrie Underwood was in there a couple months ago or something. She walks in and
tell me that's not intimidating.
It's it's intimidating. I heard like Justin Timberlake bought some land out there too. So you know, not to get everybody's hopes up. I don't know if he goes in there, but I heard he's out there.
And they got pretty good food in there too. They really do.
Yeah.
Tell us what the band's doing these days. You guys making new music, right?
We are.
We can expect a new album from you this year. And will it be 2025?
It's interesting, and I think the guys would be okay with me saying this. The thing is, we're not really releasing an album.
Mm-hmm.
We've been writing a lot of new music.
I'm glad you're bringing this up. I want to get into that.
A lot of artists would disagree with this, and I like the album thing.
Mm-hmm.
But man, the problem with today. And I wouldn't even say it's a problem. It's just the way it's going.
It's a singles world.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You know, and like, so we decided what's kind of been working for us is we've been writing a lot of new music. And then instead of like kind of doing a full album, we kind of been releasing them as singles.
That's a good idea.
And then once we kind of reach a certain amount, we'll kind of put it together in a project to sell.
There you go. Yeah. So you still print CDs or no?
We do. Uh-huh. We do. And we've sold out the last couple of times.
Good.
We sell. I mean, there is people that still buy them, but there, took a while to sell them. And unfortunately, people don't.
Yeah.
Most vinyl? People are downloading.
You available on a vinyl at all? Have you thought about that?
We have thought about it.
I love vinyl. That's why I asked.
Yeah. We have thought about it.
I was a disc jockey.
And we've had a lot of people ask, vinyl. Ashley.
Yeah.
You know, hey, do you have vinyl?
Yeah.
It's just the. I think the problem that we run into there is that we're kind of like in this place where we wouldn't be able to sell enough to make sense to do it.
But you know, I found
it is expensive.
It is expensive.
It is.
And you got to sell them for $30 or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is, but you know, there's a new company out there and I can't think of the name of it, but I'll find them again that are doing it. You don't have to buy them up front, the merchants. People go to their site and buy your record. They'll produce it and send it to them.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And they give you a portion of it.
Okay.
And I haven't looked into it fully and see if it's cost. It sounds like it'd be more cost effective, but I don't know how much of that you're getting, you know. So,
yeah.
But there are companies that do. And there's merch companies that do. You guys have merch available?
We do. Yeah. We do. I mean, and you can find everything about us. Social media, our videos, our merchandise.
Tell them, brother. Tell them.
Through just brothermaven.com.
Brothermaven.com.
Yeah.
Site.
Yeah.
Yeah. Photos, everything.
And of course, you know, come to the live shows. We sell merchandise there too.
There you go.
But,
T-shirts and hats and things like that.
Yes, sir.
And of course, CDs, music, and that's wonderful.
Yeah.
You need to see a Brother Maven show. They're really fantastic. Yeah. So, you also do a lot of songwriter rounds and things here around town.
I do. I mean, I originally moved to Nashville to be a songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go out and perform the songs that I was writing and people would come up and go, hey man,
that's right.
You got a great voice, man. Do you got music out? And I'm like, no, I'm just a songwriter. And the more I would perform, you know, I used to be in a band back home before I moved to Nashville and, we toured around and did festivals and stuff. And so I was a performer. So I wanted to write songs, but when I would perform the songs.
Yeah.
You know, some people just write and they're like, here's the song, but I would perform the songs.
Yes.
So it
and there's a difference.
It come to get me, man. Like I couldn't get away from the artist thing. Uh-huh. And it was in and out of a few bands in Nashville and kind of landed on Brother Maven and the rest is history, man. I just, and I still do the rounds. I still do them. I mean, I don't do as many as I used to, but I still do them. I'll still do it when I can.
A treat to see you up.
I enjoy it.
It really is. Last time I saw you was, again, Randy's Revival.
Yeah.
I think that was the first place I saw you. Or was it...
The first time I think I actually met you, and you may not remember, it was with Mark Hamm.
With Mark Hamm, okay.
And you were hosting a writer's round around this area.
Around this area, right.
And I honestly can't remember. It's been a while. I can't remember the name of the place.
It was called 12 Keys.
That was it.
Yeah.
That's when I met you the first time.
That's right.
And Mark invited me.
Didn't we meet at the Gatlinburg Songwriter Festival at one time?
Maybe.
Was it?
Maybe.
I mean, that might have been the first time. Maybe.
Well, I think...
It was Mark.
I think Randy's is where we actually got to know each other, like through Hal and...
Oh, Hal O'Dell.
Hal O'Dell.
Yep.
Big fan of him, and we write music together. After these new releases, he'll have three cuts with us. That's with Brother awesome. Maven. So,
man,
yeah,
he's something. He even wrote a theme song for the 12 Keys show that we did.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, Wednesday night at 12 Keys.
Oh, very cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think it's still out there somewhere. Yeah, he's this amazing guy. He's also been on the podcast.
Hal's great.
Tell me about this young artist you were writing with, Raina Roberts, huh? Tell us all about Raina Roberts.
Yeah, yeah. So, of course. I've had some small successes and stuff like that. And I got connected to her at the time, the guy that was managing her, and then the publishing group, he knew that, I wrote songs and he had heard some of my stuff. He's like, man, Daniel's a good songwriter. We need to bring him in to write with her, cause we're trying to get her a hit or just get out there. Mm-hmm. So she needed music. She's from California. And she comes to Nashville, and she's really pumped about doing the Nashville scene, and we're trying to write some country music for her. And so we wrote this song called Country Goes Where I Go.
Oh.
Now, granted, it could be a different name now. I don't know. I mean, again, you know how that works.
When you wrote it, it was.
So it was called Country Goes Where I Go. And so, wrote the tune with her, and... At the time, she was kind of doing a small kind of thing. She had probably maybe 20, 30,000 followers at the time. She's kind of building her fan base. And then about a couple years ago, I think it was a couple years ago, she I think it was a TikTok or an Instagram reel. She did this little performance, mm-hmm. And it blew up.
Wow.
And Reba McEntire, love her, man.
Yeah.
You can't not love her. She... saw her perform it, grabs it, reposts it, and was like, oh, this girl can sing, kind of like that, And that was enough.
Oh,
boom,
yeah.
It blows up.
Viral.
And she goes from like 30,000 followers to like a 500,000 followers. Yes. And she ends up performing a thing. I think she did like a duet with Luke Combs at some kind of benefit concert.
Wow.
For some country thing. And she blew up. So they rushed her out, and it's just like any, artist that's getting attention. They're trying to get songs to her. They're trying to build an album. They're trying to build singles they're trying to get her out. She's getting out. She's performing and opening up for a few bands. They're putting a band together. A buddy of mine, Chris Klontz, is started playing music with her. And actually Chris was a part of that, right? I didn't want to forget that.
All right.
Chris Klontz and Raina and me, we wrote that song together. So, and the last I heard, lonely songwriter over here. I'm doing my thing. So I don't stay too deep into it because I'm doing my own thing, doing the artist thing with Brother Maven. Yep. But the last I heard, her publishing company reached out to me. We signed a few documents. We signed a few things, and they said that she was going to release it. So pretty excited about it. I'm not 100% sure when it's going to be released.
Yeah.
If it may have... I haven't got like any confirmation yet, but like I said, I don't keep up with it as much as I should. Probably
you're too busy doing other
whoops,
things.
I'm writing, exposing myself. Yeah,
yeah. Go. Well, good luck. That's great.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm happy to hear that. A little cutting. I think she's got a bright future.
And I hope that if that song resonates, maybe it might open a few more doors for us. So.
Well, you never know. Yeah. I think your amazing voice opens up a lot of doors. I imagine when you first came to town and people heard you sing, everybody wanted to write with you all that. Yeah. I remember having to follow you at Randy's revival. Yeah. And I'm like, no, Randy, don't do this to me.
Like, thank you, man.
Yeah, thank you. Good night, folks. I'm leaving. Yeah, end of story, end of show. So.
Thank you.
How about picking up that beautiful Martin with the Kentucky... and that's the one and only guitar right there.
Yeah, man. It's a... it's Kentucky most definitely one of a kind, man, with the pit guard here. So
I'm gonna take a little video. What do you want to sing it? Get under the hood here.
What am I singing? I'm gonna do another single that we're about to release this year. So I'm gonna give you a little sneak peek into a song that probably be released later on. Later into the year, we perform it, so it, you know. But this song's called "The Goods on Me."
The Goods on Me.
And I'll tell you a quick story. You know, there is the songwriting, you know, story behind it. I was watching Good Will Hunting.
Okay.
And you know, Robin Williams is sitting down with Matt Damon, the characters, you know, and he's talking about his wife. You know, she had passed or whatever, but he was saying, he's like, "Oh man," he said, "she only knew the little things that." Only the things that we knew between each other, you know, he's like telling him all these stories. He's like, but all she had the goods on me. And I was like, oh, that would be great. That would be a good one. So this is kind of what come out of it. And so I always tell this joke when we're performing. It's like, well, I'm about to expose the things that my wife only knows about me. So it was like this. She knows I like the right side of the bed. Black coffee is my morning cigarette. And I sing so loud in the shower to the music in my head. That girl could write a book with all the things I forget. Yeah, she's got the goods on me. Yeah, she's got the goods on me. I line to set and talk to close in time. And she'll take my keys on those double bourbon nights. And when we get home and we lay down and she turns out the lights, ooh, everything is all right. Yeah, she's got the goods on me. Yeah, she's got the goods on me. All the bones in my closet, every scar, every fear down underneath. All the love in my heart, every hope, every dream, every fantasy. She got the goods on me.
I've heard you do that song before.
Yeah, man.
That is so catchy.
And I have to say, I wrote that with Hal Odell.
Hal Odell.
Yes, sir.
Again.
Yeah.
What a great guy. So. One of my favorite guys. Just fantastic songwriter. Dude, you got it going. You do got the goods. You got the goods.
Thank you, man. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Yeah. So what's next for you? What do you think?
Well, believe it or not, man, I don't want to go too deep into it.
Okay.
The guys would kill me if I did. But there are some things brewing.
Mm-hmm.
There is some agencies that are interested in maybe working with us.
That's great.
We've been putting a lot of work and effort into it, so... We're finally getting a little bit of attention. Our numbers are starting to really grow a lot. We're getting some attention, and that's exciting.
Sure.
And there may be some management that's looking to maybe working with us too. So some things happening. We've been having some meetings down on Music Row, believe it or not.
That's good. Y'all need to get on the bandwagon still, right now.
Well, there's still people down there that believe in the music that we're doing, you know, like I said, we're not really, there is some, that Southern rock element in that there's a country vibe.
But it's so much more than that.
But it's your own thing. The blues, that Muscle Shoals, that soul. I'm more of a soul singer, but anyway. But yeah, man, there's some things brewing.
That's good. We'll
there's
keep
some
an eye on
brewing.
It.
We're excited.
They can find you on all the socials.
Yes,
right?
sir. Yeah.
Daniel Mason, but also Brother Maven.
Yeah, if you go to our, I mean, it's Brother Maven everything.
Everything.
Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. And as long as it lasts,
yeah, it might be
off. We'll see. But you can find us, brothermaven.com.
Check it out. Follow these
YouTube,
guys.
Everything.
They're ones to watch. Daniel, thank you for taking the time coming to be on the show.
Dave, thank you.
Always good
I appreciate
to see you,
you
and
man.
Hear you play, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
No, totally.
And when I tell you here at home, when I always say it's right on. And what I mean by that is WRITE. Right on. We'll catch you next time on Songwriter Nation.
We hope you enjoyed this intimate glimpse into the world of songwriting and found inspiration in the stories shared by our talented guests. Remember, the magic of music lies not only in the notes and chords, but in the emotions and experiences woven into every lyric. Until next time, keep listening, keep creating, and keep the melodies alive.
Brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card. With Saver, you earn unlimited 3% cash back on dining, entertainment, and at grocery stores. That's unlimited cash back on ordering takeout from home, or unlimited cash back on tickets to concerts and games. So grab a bite, grab a seat, and earn unlimited 3% cash back with the Saver Card. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.